Podcasting 2.0 for September 13th, 2024, episode 193, Helpful Little Wizards. Uh-oh, it's Friday, but not just any Friday. It's Friday the 13th. What could possibly go wrong? Well, nothing, because you are here in the boardroom, the only boardroom in all of podcasting, as far as I know. We're so decentralized. And, of course, we are the boardroom that doesn't care who you vote for. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who chases core to the ends of his IDE. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
My dog is looking at me like, I mean, he never does this, but he's staring at me through the glass door.
Let him in. And like, he wants to come in.
He's got a I'm gonna bark look on his face like I've never seen before.
Oh yeah.
It was just a countdown, T-minus question mark.
Now, does he just bark willy nilly, or does he bark at stuff, at people and trucks and cars and deer and stuff?
The triggers for he barks at stuff, but the triggers to what makes him bark are completely inscrutable.
Oh,
like we have no idea what it is, but what he'll definitely. So here's a crazy thing. He will start barking from the, he's asleep, like dead asleep in the middle of the house.
Yes.
He'll start barking, yeah. Go to the door, and there will be a guy walking a dog down the sidewalk. And it's like, how did you know?
Yeah. Phoebe does that too. They're kind of the same breed. Although we had her in the, in the Paws and Claws Pet Resort while we were in Mexico.
Paws and Claws. This is like a mani-pedi place.
Dogs. And I always get her the executive suite because I feel so guilty about boarding her because, you know, we can't really find anyone here who can. I mean, she's under 100 pounds, but she's a big dog. And, you know, so I'm all happy.
Do they garnish the dog food with, like, parsley?
No, they don't. But otherwise, it's pretty regular. And they said, I'm all excited to go get her. You know, hey, Phoebe. And she's like wagging her tail a little bit. Okay, whatever. And she was mad for a whole 48 hours. You'd tell she was just mad. Like, you put me in that place.
Yeah, you got the F-U. For a while.
That aloof look they can give you. Like,
It's like, I'm over you right now.
Yeah. She's back to normal, though. I hate it. I hate boarding the dog. I do not like doing that. It's not my favorite thing. How's your week been, brother?
Pretty good.
Is it busy time again for you? Is September? Yeah. Is it September 15th another busy time?
September 15th, October 15th are the extension filing, you know, extension deadlines for filing. So
yeah,
it's like a little mini tax season, but we're getting through it. Last night I did myself no favors. I've been finding this problem with what I thought was CORS. So CORS, for the uninitiated, is cross-origin resource sharing. So for a web browser, by default, is only allowed to load resources, meaning images and JavaScript and things like that. It's only allowed to load, pull those things into the page from its own domain. Now, images are an exception. Images have always been an exception to this rule.
How did images get the exception?
I don't know. There's probably some
CORS,
sort of
a CORS board.
Yeah. Like from Tim Berners-Lee, probably, like, as he was writing the first thing, he was probably like, you know what? We ought to just give images an exception. And that was the way it worked. You know how it goes.
Does it have to be verified images though? Does it have to be a JPEG or a GIF or et cetera?
I really don't know how that's determined. I'm assuming it's by MIME type.
Hmm.
You
could spoof it.
Yeah, you could spoof it, but the interpreters in the browser, DOM parsers are probably they're going to reject that. Yeah, but so that the carve out for images has always been there, and you're right, Harfhat. It's mostly JavaScript, but it is more than that because other tags can contain JavaScript. sometimes you can load stuff into the browser and it becomes JavaScript later, which is always fun, you know. And that's always been an issue. That's how a lot of cross-site scripting attacks work. But cores is basically everything that's not an image. Cores is, or when I say image, I mean, I think it's actually all of media. I think it's images, video, and audio. I think those are all exempt from cores.
Right. Oh yeah, like an MP3 would also be exempt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I believe that's the case. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but for cores, it's a server side change you have to make. You have to say, I'm allowing my stuff to be loaded from this other domain. So my domain is, DaveJones.com and yours is AdamCurry.com, and you can't load scripts and things from DaveJones.com on your web pages unless I allow you to.
Oh, you have to allow me.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. And so there's a bunch of headers that have to be exchanged, like pre-flight headers and that kind of thing. And there's specific headers for that. Well, I've been trying to load for this side project that me and you are working on. I was trying to load some images that were in object storage, and they would not load. And I'm comparing the buckets, the object storage buckets. They're both on Linode. So I have one example that works. I have another example that does not work.
Hmm.
And I'm like dumping out policies.
Is this the forward back buttons?
No. This is for like loading a piece of like, just an image. So like loading an image, and you have, we have some stuff that we host for Podcast Index. That's like, the bucket is feeds.podcastindex.org. That's where we put some sort of like sandbox stuff and that kind of thing. And all of those images work fine. Just stick an image tag in the page, it loads fine. This other bucket doesn't work. And it's giving me a 403. Like 403?
403 from forbidden?
Like, uh-huh. That doesn't even sound like cores. I'm like, ugh. So I mean, I was up till about almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, last no. night. And you get up early too. So that's, that was late.
trying to figure this out. And it finally hit me that in setting up the C name to pass through Cloudflare to go to this bucket, because you want your buckets to be accessible from like, you know, feeds.podcastindex.org.
I want everybody to be able to touch my buckets.
Your buckets are so big. Yeah. It's a shame to hide them.
Yes.
But you don't want it to be what it normally would be, which would be like feeds.podcastindex.org.s3.linode. Bucket 1-southeast.com.
So does this story end with it was DNS?
No. It ends with I stupidly set up a Cloudflare setting that I wasn't like, Cloudflare, when you set up a new site to pass through Cloudflare, it has these helpful little wizards that will turn on a bunch of features for you.
It's always suspicious, helpful little wizards. Helpful little wizards. That's the show title right there.
Never trust a helpful little wizard. Yes. But there's a couple of these, and Wizard, also a great song by Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
If you just go through each one of those wizards, it will turn on like a bunch of basic stuff that most people want to turn on. And most of it is for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what you want. But one of them was block hot linking image hot linking. And I was like, it finally just out of the blue, it hit me. Oh, you know what? I turned that box on, and I bet you that's what it was. I went and flipped the switch off, worked fine. I was like, daggummit. I mean, I was 10 miles deep into AWS.
Oh, documentation.
trying to find bucket policy ACLs and stuff.
No.
It was a nightmare.
Oh no.
I could have just Yeah. I mean, I could have gone to bed at like 10:30.
Were you on, was it to Overstack? No, what's it called?
Oh, Stack Overflow.
Stack Overflow.
Overstack. Yeah, I was everywhere, dude. I was all over Google trying to figure out what in the world is this thing.
Oh, no.
But yeah, that was just, you know, myself shooting myself in the foot. But
oh, well, I'm glad you figured it out.
Yep. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good now.
So, yes, we have a project we're working on. People are like, side project? What are they doing? Yeah. We're working on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of side projects, you got anything you want to jump right into?
No, I don't.
There's a bunch happening this week, but one thing that I'm pretty pumped about is, let me refresh my page. Where did this go? Okay, there it is. But one thing I'm pretty pumped about is Alex Gates has been building, by my request, he has been building a...
What is he building?
He's been building a tool.
What is he building in there? It's a tool.
It's a Podping utility. Okay, so what this thing does... Well, let me step back. Podping is an underutilized resource. There are hundreds of thousands of feeds being sent through Podping
every second, it seems.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you... want to find out if you want to find out what's going on in the world of podcasting.
Yeah. You just look at that.
Tap into Podping and you're going to get the fire hose of information that's from tons of different hosting companies. The biggest ones, Buzzsprout, Spreaker, Blueberry, I need to even look at the Captivate. I need to look at that list again because, you know, the top 10 is well represented in Podping.
Oh, yeah. It's yes. I wish we had many more, but the top 10, the big ones are there.
Mm-hmm. Except for
Libsyn. Is Libsyn there? They're not Podping.
No, Libsyn is not there.
That would be so good if they jumped in. That'd be so easy. Even I could code that for them.
But you can... Yeah, please do. Please send them some code. Yes. So if you tap into you can imagine how Podping. So what you know, obviously Podping sends an update through the blockchain every time a feed gets updated. This is such useful information. Like we don't even poll Buzzsprout. Or Spreaker.
No, of course not.
We never send a request for a feed until a Podping comes through. There's no need. So we wait for them to tell us when the show is updated and then we check them. So you can imagine building a new app. This is going to be an immediate resource that you want to tap into because that means you don't have to poll them
exactly. When
you don't have to. You can also get great information, historical information from the blockchain, like how often does this show update? What time windows does this show typically update in? What time of day? How many times a week or month?
Yeah, you've got data. By the way, I just received a boost. RSS.com loves Podping, just letting you know.
Thank you. Every time I start listing people, I always leave somebody out. I should stop listing. So what the only drawback to Podping, and I'm sorry, Brian, but the only drawback to Podping is Hive is something that people just don't understand.
Or and they just hear blockchain. They go, oh no,
right. And we've largely, for the use case of Podping, what Hive is irrelevant to what to
yeah because the you, way you that don't it need functions. To know it you just don't need to know what it's doing.
Yeah, you just tap the fire hose and you're good. Or you send and we abstracted that with the podping.cloud interface. So you just send your update to podbean.cloud and it takes care of all the Hive stuff and on the back end. And you never have to even understand Hive at all. But that's on the sending side. We need a solution that's just as easy on the receiving side.
So app devs can do something with it.
Mm-hmm. And there are tools that Brian and then Alex built called like the Hive Watcher.
Yes, or my favorite, tiles.podping.org.
Mm. That would be more like an app.
Of course it is. It's totally an app. Yeah.
So the tool that I'm talking about, let's say that you're building a podcast app or a podcast platform of some sort, and you want to watch Podping for updates in a programmatic way that you can pipe into your system. The Hive Watcher Python tool would get you there. But there's also a version of it in JavaScript. They work, but they're complicated in the sense that when they fail you, if you don't have expertise in Hive or Python or Node, you really are kind of lost. So what I'm trying to do and actually reading from Hive can become complicated because what you're doing is you're watching a bunch of API servers on the Hive side. And those things can go up and down. It's a distributed blockchain. So let's say you have 75 API servers. What if one of them drops?
Yeah, if that's the one you're watching, then you can have a problem.
Yeah. So you need to be, it's sort of like, I mean, bad example, but it's kind of like Nostra in that way. If you're currently interacting with one Nostra relay and that thing drops, you have to be able to intelligently go somewhere else and figure, you got to be able to switch gears. So, same type of deal here. So anyway, there's all that complexity. So what I asked Alex for was, I'm like, can you build just a super simple Hive Watcher tool that will watch the blockchain and then write every update to a file in the file system?
Oh yeah, which is the way we actually like stuff, like a JSON.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly, because it's JSON in the block. So you just take that JSON out,
add a piece into a file. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Got it.
So he's been working on that for a few months in Rust. He's building it in Rust. So we've got memory safety. We got memory stability, and it is already the podping.cloud front end is written in Rust. So we're just kind of making this all match up well. So he got it. He gave me access to the repo day before yesterday. I got it installed and got it compiled yesterday and fired it up this morning, and it works like a charm.
Oh, awesome.
So it's a daemon that just runs 24/7. Every time there's a new Hive block, it looks and sees if there's any Podping information in it. If there is, it extracts it and sticks it into a file, and it's just doing that all the time.
So by firing this up, are you actually connecting to the Hive chain, or are you just watching the Hive chain? I guess it's the same thing. You're not an active participant in the chain. You're just a lurker.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out maybe an analogy there. So it's sort of like, you know how Spurlock built that blue sky fire hose watcher thing, like every post that goes through it. Waterfalls down the page. That's this thing. It's not participating. It's not posting anything. Because the Hive network has full nodes, which participate in creating the blockchain.
Right, which has a whole bunch of stuff in each block you don't need.
Yeah. And so then but you also have API servers where if you just want to see what's there, you can just tap into those. And so he's monitoring multiple API servers and juggling all that stuff.
And does it write an individual file per block?
It writes it as transactions. So it creates a folder structure that is year, month, day, hour, minute, second. And within that second folder, it has potentially multiple files, each with block number, transaction number, and a couple of other bits of data. And inside that file will be the JSON.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. So then, you know, obviously, once you have this thing, we can do all, and it's running right now on just a $5 a month Linode. Once we have this data, we can start to, my next step will be create the scripting or whatever we're going to do to then push this data to different places. First on my list will be to put it in object storage.
Right.
In a way so that developers can
tap into it easy.
Yep. Yep.
With an API or just flat file access. Listen to me.
You're a pro. You sell a pro. I think, and I'm open to suggestions here, but I think the way that I'm going to do it is the way that we're doing the tracking object storage stuff. So there'll be a thing that may be like tracking or watch.podping.cloud. And then that will be just a bucket. And there will be one place, there will be a starting point there. There'll always be a file in that bucket called current that has the current block number or the current file name. And you can just walk back through the chain.
Through the structure.
Until you hit a date or a block number that you've seen.
I want an OPML version of it, Dave.
Do you like 12 gig OPML files? Because that's what this
that's
would be.
That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know,
I've also got another idea.
Well, let me just stick on this for a second because, you know, this project that we're working on is, I don't even know how to describe it, but it has given, just looking at the work you're doing, and by the way, Dave Jones doing interface work is mind-blowing.
Yeah, mind blowing is one way to describe it. Yes.
No, I mean, you know, and I say this with love. Your interfaces are, you know, like kind of a mauve background and text, you know, and some boxes and buttons. That's typically what you're doing.
They're quaint.
Well, they're functional. They're 100% functional.
It's like, no, she's got such a great personality.
No, well, yeah, in a way. But whatever, is this that framework you're using? What is it called?
Laravel?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Whatever you're doing, it's outputting stuff that is beautiful.
Well, now, I mean, the stuff you're seeing is now that's all me from scratch, but that's the stuff on the dashboard side, that's some Laravel, but the output that you get on the other end of it.
That's all you. All right. So double blown away, but it's given me so much. It really makes my brain creative. Like, look at all the things we can do. It's the same when I look at tiles.podping.org. I'm like, all the things that can be done. Cause I look at it and I say, think about the data behind it. I mean, this is, I guess, what I was getting to in the past episode or so about building different kinds of apps that do different things. We're still a little caught in our inbox. Motif of frame of mind, right? So like, okay, here's your podcast, here's your episodes. And just the thinking about different types of experiences with this data, it's my mind just keeps spinning and spinning, like, oh man, you can do so much stuff, which I hope happens.
Harry Peeps, he said, you eyes are minimalist. Yes, yes, thank you.
Minimalist interface. There you go.
Minimalist as far as effort goes is usually the way it goes, is usually what that means. Yeah, no, I feel what you're saying, because that's the way I feel with the Podping, Damon, is that, well, one thing I want to do is make this available over ActivityPub.
Yeah,
so
baby.
So that you can subscribe to you can subscribe to feed at activitypub.podping.cloud in an ActivityPub client, and then whenever a Podping comes through, you get a note.
Oh wow. You'll need a separate timeline for that. That'll be insane. I mean, we're running about one Podping every 3 seconds.
This is not for human consumption.
Not at all. Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah. This is totally for architecture. So, but I mean, we can do it and I can see how this moves the needle, or could potentially move the needle to get what I want to do is just get podcasting away from polling. You know what I mean?
Well, for sure. Polling is for pussies.
It's that's a t-shirt.
Yeah. All right. Yes, we definitely need that. Polling is for pussies.
Yeah, work on that. Yes. No gender shop.
Yeah, please.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's just no reason for it anymore. There really isn't. Let me take that back. That's too bold of a statement. The only reason to poll is if you have to. That's a better way to say it. If something happened where there was some sort of censorship or something that was needing to be avoided, sure, poll. But I don't, for 99% of the time, I really think we can get to a point in podcasting where we don't have to poll anymore. I mean, Podping's already got us most of the way there. It's not even for just hosting companies. You know, if you're at RSS.com, of course you're going to send a Podping every time you update your feed. But it also, if you're using PowerPress or Seriously Simple on your WordPress site, they also send Podpings.
Yep.
And they're on their own domains. I really think we can go to a post-polling world.
Ooh. Post-polling world. I like it. PPW.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this tool is the building block for how we start making Podping like ubiquitous and everywhere.
Yeah. What I have learned throughout the years is if you have a fire hose or data that updates regularly, it's like honey for the fly developer. You know, it's like, zzz, and when they see the data, they're like, oh, what can I do with this? There got to be something I can. And that's how Bingit.io was built. You know, I just always published the No Agenda show notes in XML. And boom, there were at one point four or five different search engines. And then once we added the transcripts, oh man, it just became crazy, which is, by the way, is a bit of the stuff David's doing with Hypercatcher. Have you been following his developments?
I have not, no. So please tell me what's
going on. Yeah, he's back on the stick with Hypercatcher. And so the two things, I don't have Hypercatcher. I think it's iOS only, but I may be wrong, but there's also a web version. So first of all, on the app itself, he's generating transcripts on the fly in the app. Not quite sure how that's happening, but he's doing
it. Yeah, like on device, right?
On device, yeah. But also, you can do searches and lookups on the chapter data. So you can research stuff. So whatever is in the chapter, you can, you know, then have the app go and look up stuff about that particular topic.
You mean like Google searches and stuff?
He actually, let me see, hold on a second. Cause he posted an example, which was Rogan. Let me see.
Is it a real time fact check?
In a way, because he said, here we go. Hyperketchup can now take the chapter data.
The chapter drip Scott said, "Hey, Jamie," is what it's called.
It's exactly what it's called.
Is it?
Yes, can take the chapter. Thanks for ruining the punchline, Dreb. I was getting to it. Can take the chapter data from podcasts you've listened to and any research term, "Hey, Jamie," in quotes, and compile it into a markdown file for sharing in note taking apps like Obsidian.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that there's different ideas and different reasons. And this also gives people a reason to have multiple apps. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we probably already use multiple apps for different reasons. Yeah, which sure. is nice when so it many. All just kind of works. And it would be nice to sync that all over ActivityPub. You know what I'm saying? Just saying. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool to have all of my apps syncing with the subscriptions?
Yeah, and that's, well, you know, that kind of leads into episodes.fm.
Yes.
Now supporting all feeds instead of just iTunes IDs. So like that makes that part easier.
Oh, first of all, episodes.fm, so awesome. Although this was a lesson in UI design. So mm-hmm. I brought it up yesterday to tweet out the live No Agenda Show episode. And I go to episodes.fm, like, whoa, okay, different homepage. Hold on a second. I'm like, what? Okay, where's the search box? Fine. And then it keeps opening up podcast.apple.com. And I know that you can set it so whatever your preferred player is, it always opens that. But I want to go to the page that just has all the different apps that you can then select. So when I tweet that out and when I boost it out or toot it out, when I slash that X, that people can choose their own. And the button that selects open up your preferred player or open up the list had become inverted in the new UI.
Oh, it used to
toggle it to the right, and now it was to the left. Yeah. I'm like, oh, and it took me in the heat of the battle, getting ready to go live. I'm like, oh, what is going on here? I don't understand. I immediately got someone on Mastodon. He said, oh, okay, hey, boomer. I'm like, oh, thanks, thanks. Didn't even respond to that.
I'm going to actually try this out here. I'm going to pick a show that I know does not have an iTunes ID. And that's going to be, let's just do Murder in the Fourth Dimension. Yeah, here we go. Murder in the Fourth Dimension. I merged. So Steven Crater did a pull request to enable episodes.fm for pages. That for pages that didn't have iTunes IDs on the podcast index, but it's not.
Curry and the Keeper also doesn't come up yet. So maybe he hasn't implemented it all yet. Because I'm looking for Curry and the Keeper, which I know doesn't have an iTunes ID and it does not show up.
Maybe I screwed up the push to production. I'll have to figure that out because that's supposed to be there on the podcast index site.
Oh, you have to pay. Oh, you have to paste in the feed URL.
Yeah, but that should be taken care of in the
in the search
in the link. Yeah, you know, it's also bothering me that there's no left padding on the podcast index avatar at the beginning at the top of the website.
There's no one.
That's super important, but. When you shrink the site down width wise,
oh yeah,
the icon goes all the way up hard to the hard edge on the left.
Oh, gotcha. Let me see if I podcast feed. Well, that's good to know. Okay, so put the feed in.
Steven said it works for him. Maybe, what am I doing wrong?
Okay, putting the feed in here. Works.
No, wait. I had to hard refresh my browser to get, it was a cache thing. Because I did a control shift R, and now I'm seeing the episodes.fm icon.
Oh, on the podcast index. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, I have that. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Let me try that. Isn't it fun, everybody, to listen to us do a hard R? A hard R? That was the title of episode 100 of MoFax with Adam Curry.
What hard R was? You got to do the hard R on the page and see if it shows up.
Okay. Hard R. Let's see. Ba-da-da. Yeah, it shows up. And I hit episodes.fm.
Yep, there it is.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, well, that makes it easy.
Thanks, Steven.
Yeah, this is great.
Appreciate you, brother.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Okay, see now, because now I can take, all those links off of the ActivityPub postings and just put one link.
Right.
All the pills or whatever you call it.
Ah, oh, so fantastic. I'm telling you, it's one of the best developments in podcasting 2.0 is how episodes.fm integrates with everything. It's just fantastic. It's awesome. It really is.
I think we're seeing a bunch of different things sort of coalescing right now I think what we're in is a phase where things are becoming easier.
Totally.
You know,
I mean, I had this thought, I'm not quite sure exactly how to explain it, but I had a thought, what if, so like for instance, episodes.fm is a good example. So let's say, I send out the link, it's the episodes.fm and you click on, Podcast Guru, cause that's the app you're using. Now it knows that this is looking for Curry and the Keeper. What if then when you hit the app, it starts off with an entirely different UI that is based upon all kinds of, you know, information that we send along in our feed, including pod role and all of this stuff, you know, so I could in fact send people to a platform within the app. Does that make any sense?
Mm.
So you could come into my world and
I'm not following you.
That the URL, whatever the trigger is to open up the app, that it doesn't just show you this, you know, because you're still standard episode. Okay, here's an episode here. You know, here's the main podcast and then all your other stuff. I mean, what if it took over the whole UI? What if it changed everything based upon the data in the feed? Right down to the buttons for all I care. You know, just like what if I could, and through pod role and other things and geolocation, you know, it could show, you know, the podcast that we recommend, you know, that's in the interface. It's showing stuff that is from the same area. You know what I mean? It's like, so that I can tell people to use Podcast Guru, but it really, when they come in through the door that I'm offering, it's more like a platform that I'm influencing, that I can change based upon the data that I'm publishing. Does that make sense? Must not be making sense.
Okay. Let me see if I can sort of mirror this back to you. My understanding of this, like you're kind of saying that you're saying that when you get a request for, let's say, an episode of a podcast, what you see is almost like a custom website that's built out of the parts that are exposed by that episode of that podcast.
How about this? And it doesn't have to be a website. This is why I'm interested. Well, obviously that's much easier perhaps, but let's say I'm a publisher. And when I publish something, and people have to, it's, if you just open the app, then you're just going to get whatever the app, however the app functions. But when you come to it from some other door, a link, which I think a lot of people think about it, that I really don't know, but some mechanism that when I push this as a publisher, now you're seeing my publisher world. Uh-huh. An app takeover, if you will. I don't know. Needs work.
I feel like I understand what you're saying.
It was better when I was smoking weed. I could. It was much easier.
No, it wasn't. I promise you, it was not. I feel like I understand what you're saying. It's almost. It's like.
Take the thing we're working on. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it has backgrounds. The whole thing changes based upon where you're coming from.
Right. Right. Yeah. You get a unique experience based on how you get there.
How about this? Okay. So, and this all stems from Rachel Maddow, which is so frightening for me to think of, but
you are stuck on this.
This really got
your hackle up.
Well, and you know, Gordon just said custom skin. Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. So Rachel Maddow, her main complaint was, you know, I don't understand where's the recommendations? How come, you know, what she wants is a platform. She wants a platform like YouTube for people to be interacting with podcasts. But what she's really saying is I want a platform. Mm-hmm. I want a platform because, of course, you know, we'd all love to have our own YouTube and it'd be our own. So mm-hmm. When people come in through the Rachel Maddow, God, this hurts me so much to be saying this, through her entry point.
It's okay, sugar. It's okay.
Through her entry point, you know, that should be a world, and it's still podcast guru, but it's a world that she has influence over and she can become the platform. So you can, and I think that is part of it's the publisher feed. I'm thinking somehow it's part of the publisher function. So you're making the recommendations. The app is doing stuff based upon what I am publishing. All the things I'm publishing. So all the guests I've had. You know, look at all the guests I've had. You know, and it would be less of a navigation inbox tool, and now it becomes a platform for that particular publisher.
Okay, first of all, I think that you have always been
insane.
You have always been obsessed with, and I think this is a good obsession, with getting away from the inbox view of podcasting and RSS in general.
Yeah, I don't know if obsession is fair, but I'll take it.
Okay. Because that I'm with you on that. I feel like, you know, and we did this in the Freedom Controller. We had this idea, you know, we took a News River approach. Not an inbox reader approach. You didn't have unread items that you had to look at,
right,
and then go through and mark as read. What you just had is you just had a stream of things coming, a first in, first out view. Mm-hmm. And then there's certain things that you could mark as sticky where they would stick to the top and you could say, okay, now most of the time I don't really want to have to stop and mark this thing as read. But there's some things I don't want to miss. So every now and then, one of those feeds would stick to the top and you would read that and then you would dismiss it. That was sort of like a happy compromise between I don't want to miss these other things, but the rest of 99% of my sort of stream of content, I really don't care about having to stop and mark it as read, which feels like work. Mm-hmm. And like that was one way of getting out of the inbox model of podcasts or RSS feed mm-hmm. readers, which to me always felt very liberating because we all hate having
unread stuff. Yeah.
It sucks. So you don't want that in your life as if you don't have to have it. So, I mean, this feels like a sort of another, this feels like another way out of that inbox model where you can say, where I share an item to you. I say, hey, Adam, check out this episode of this podcast. And then the app opens or the site opens or whatever it is that's going to show you that episode. And what you get is you get, of course, the episode, but then you also get The last five people that listened to this episode went on to listen to this other episode. Do you want to listen to that one next? Do you want to? And also, most of the people that subscribe to this show also subscribe to this other show. And then here's the pod roll. And
right. But I want that things. To all be in the yes, yes, yes to that. But I, that needs to be in Maddow world.
What do you mean Maddow world?
So it has to be other Maddow people who came
We're
in.
We're talking about Rachel Maddow.
Yes, we are. Right? I know. It just makes it. I don't know if I'm hurting myself with that in the argument or not.
Okay. Yeah.
But I want people to come to apps because, and the apps are just beautiful. They're such wonderful. There's so many core functional pieces that have been, you know, been worked on for decades at this point. And, you know, people are winding up going to YouTube or winding up, you know, going to just the web player. And by the way, this is much easier possibly in a web environment. And maybe this is something that really only works for PWAs. Maybe just have more real estate you can mess around with. But it just feels to me like if you can have the publishers, people who are publishing RSS feeds, publishing podcasts, and with the 23 different tags we have now, I should be able to, you know, the app should look at this and based upon other people who come in through the same entry point, it should just be a world that is, you know, the no agenda world. Maybe just make that easier. And the things that are coming to the surface are indeed based upon what other people who come into the world on that app are doing. So part of it's activity streams, maybe. And I think that's almost unavoidable. And by the way, True Fans has already been doing this for 10 years. So just so you know, I'm sure that's a fact. But
and we need to talk about True Fans, by the way.
Well, let's talk about it because I think this I think this folds into it. So if I send people to True Fans for No Agenda, that should be No Agenda World, not just a True Fans app that's playing No Agenda. And it's not just a skin, although not unimportant for branding, but since everyone, you can identify that people are coming in to No Agenda World. So now what are those people doing? So just like you said, a bit like the Freedom Controller, I don't want to necessarily have to follow someone, but why isn't there a recommendation engine that shows me what other people have been listening to doing? Oh, this host and, you know, people looked at this guest, et cetera, just this whole world based upon me sending people in through a certain portal. And it's easier to consider that, and again, it comes to the apps for me because of episodes.fm. It's like I'm sending people from episodes.fm. So, you know, someone is coming to your app. They're opening up something in the app, but it's an action they've already taken. So it's not just a rando. I opened the app. Right. I went to No Agenda. No, they're coming in with purpose. And that's where it should be a platform. And if somehow that can be created, then you're going to. So that'll be my win when Rachel Maddow goes, oh, you know, these apps, that all of a sudden is a platform. It's not just an app. It's a platform. And she has the ability and the illusion that she actually controls it, which she kind of does for her world. But someone coming in from No Agenda gets a whole different world.
I like this. Yes. Go ahead. Keep going.
And then I look at the Hypercatcher stuff. So I'm doing a, hey, Jamie, look up on chapter data. What is it bringing in for me? Is it bringing stuff in from another world? And can I switch worlds? You know? Mm-hmm. I can just see such a rich, I'm trying to break my head out of the inbox model. You're right. It's an obsession. I'll stop.
Yeah. Well, I like this because if you take all of the stuff that's there in the feed, so this is where all that stuff could live, like social, like all the social, like ActivityPub comments, Nostr comments, pod roles, person tags, like you could bring all of this stuff into almost like you said, like a world of this show that exists when people enter the door from a certain route. Because like most of the time I just want my feed in my app.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm getting introduced into this world of this show from another spot, like it actually would be pretty helpful to have the whole context.
Yes. The whole context of the world that publisher controls or influences.
And then in order to make this happen, we need a little bit more. One thing we need is the ability to do banner. We need better art specifications outside of the iTunes namespace. We need to finalize the way to put the banners in there. I know Russell at Pod 2, he's already doing this. He just took the bull by the horns and started doing it. But we also maybe need some color information in there. I know Nathan Gathright brought this up in an old issue on the namespace about some color picking and that kind of thing. Now there's pushback about, well, you know, I don't want to change the colors of my app based on this other thing. But I think but if you look at the Apple Podcasts app, that's one thing it does very well is it sort of adopts
the scheme, the colors, the scheme.
Style mm-hmm. of the podcast. You know, they really encourage, they want to make you feel like you're in that podcast and you're not just simply in Apple Podcasts app. So I think that there is a happy medium there.
But that's the start of it. Absolutely.
The thing that Apple Podcasts is missing is all that rich data to go on top of it.
Well, they'll never get there, or they will, you know, when we're dead and gone, because they'll just keep plugging away at their own pace. That's just the nature of a slow company. I guess I'm trying to get away from great, here's a pod roll. Click here to see recommendations by this podcast. I'm trying to get away from that. Because that's not, you know, when you go to YouTube, it doesn't say, click here to look at videos like this. It shows stuff. It's showing you stuff everywhere. And they're doing it behind the scenes, and you can't really control that as a publisher. But in our world, you can. Because we are publishing the data. There's so much data we're pushing. And yes, it is Boost. But, you know, instead of making it one, you know, just a list that leads to another list. You know, how do you turn it into a world? In a world.
it's not just simply showing the data. It's taking sort of like the next step and putting it in, like, arranging it in a way that makes you feel like you're in that thing.
Yeah. In that world, I'm just calling what it is. In
world. Yeah.
Rachel
yeah,
Maddow's world. Because if she sees that she has that capability, she'll promote it. You know?
Yeah. It's Rachel's world. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Rachel's world. Yeah. I like the idea. I like this concept.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can bring some of that into what we're doing now, you know?
Well, in a way, what we're doing with our project is some of that. We're presenting a world.
Yeah.
You know, we're presenting a world that, you know.
It's not app-centric.
Right.
That's been one nice thing about this other project. Is the app is not the center of the universe. It's pushing the center of the universe. It ends up being somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to live by the rules of that other thing.
Right.
And it's actually kind of a mind bender, and it's a little bit hard to get used to. I think this makes, well, let's talk about True Fans.
Okay.
Cause Sam said that, he posted a couple of things on, Mastodon this week. He said that they're going to put downloads, like local storage downloads into True Fans for offline playback.
That's tricky,
which is cool, but he posted and said that he's given up and he's going to build a native app.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I missed that post. Really?
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let me see if I can find it.
Sam. I'll bet you that's, I bet you that investors kind of demand that. Investors can't wrap their head around a web app as valuable.
Think so?
Yeah, I know so.
Let's see. Let's see if I can.
That's a big one. That is quite big that he's going that way. And that's unexpected, actually.
I can't find the original post here, but he basically said, you know, I give up in the sense that, you know, well, he said, for whatever reason, people just don't like web apps.
Hmm.
It's not, you know, it's like, it's just not getting, it's just people are not, you know, not buying it.
Let me just jump right back in.
Okay.
I think if you approach it from the app perspective, so I want a podcast app. Yes, I can see where people think, oh, I want an app. I don't want this thing. But if you're being pushed into a world from the outside in and not, you know, it's just, wow, it's a major change.
Let me read to you what he posted.
Okay.
He said, we give in. People don't understand or like progressive web apps. We're going to build native iOS Android versions of TrueFans. By the end of October, we will have native apps with support for CarPlay, Android Auto, Apple Watch, and Alexa integration.
Huh. Well, in that case...
No!
Goodbye, progressive web apps.
The PWA, they had a good run. I think I've got some thoughts on this specifically.
But let me put it this way.
All right.
Back to Rachel. If Rachel said, go to podcast.rachelmaddow.com and you're sent to a Rachel world that is based on TrueFans, so it has all the TrueFans functionality, but it's just, but everything is built around Rachel's world with stuff that she can quote unquote control by what she puts in her feed, which would, you know, require a 2.0 feed. And from there, people also see, oh, wait, I can listen to all my podcasts here. You know, and even if you go to it on mobile phone, he'll be like, oh, well, this is nice. I can see people, but, you know, so instead of saying, use my app, say, point your people to this, you know, to here. And then that will just become the app that they use for that show. And then maybe they'll start using it for other shows, maybe other, you know, it's like, it's a reverse way of getting people to use your app. So instead of please use my app, we show all podcasts in all the best possible way. Because I mean, Curry and the Keeper is not on Apple. People don't care; they listen to it on the web or whatever they do. But if I sent them, and these are quote unquote unsophisticated podcast listeners, a lot of them don't even know that there's a thing called the. I know because I see them in church. They don't even know about
what a podcast app is.
No, they don't. They know the podcast. But I sent them, but we have podpage.com and everyone uses that. They love it. So, oh, this is great. We can do all kinds of stuff. Now, what if, you know, that, what if you can send, instead of, I have to set up my, okay, just take the app out of the equation because you can do it in apps or web, doesn't matter. But what if you say, like Podpage, I'm a big fan. I'm a paying member. It cost me a lot of money, this Podpage outfit, by the way. I saw that bill come through because I got a lot of domains mapped to it. And it's like,
is that what curryandthekeeper.com is?
Yes.
That
Podpage? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's Podpage. You know, so what if instead of you have to set up your Podpage, what if the app is Podpage and you send people there and based upon the feed, it shows you that page? Does that make sense what I'm saying? So instead
Yes. You're almost white labeling a full podcast app.
Yes, but just by sending people there from a link.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
Instead of you have to go to currythekeeper.com, but I spent hours setting it up, that thing is a full-blown app, which can also do other things for other podcasts, which would be, and then the whole idea is people tell their other podcast friends, podcasters, hey, if you point at this thing, then it changes, it becomes your world.
Right. Well, that's really what, okay. Well,
I just ruined PodPage's entire business model, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
I think they could easily do become, them and True Fans. And these, I think they could become this thing you're talking about they could just become this, because PodPage is essentially a podcast app.
Yes.
Just with but you just don't scroll. Scroll through a timeline. You just go to domains.
So instead of acting like a web page for a podcast, act like a podcast app. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. And you can send anybody there. Now it'll be pretty standard if you don't have 2.0 tags, but if you got 2.0 tags, oh man, imagine what a cool app that would be. And I'm a little enamored by, some of the gesture stuff that I've seen you working on. It's like, oh, I can just swipe back and forth. It's like, it's mm-hmm. rock solid. It's actually feels more solid than some apps I use. Like, oh, this is good. Boom, boom, boom. Very responsive.
Well, this is something that I've been thinking about because of that as well. Is when I saw what Sam had written, I get it, and I think he's right. People don't like a lot of people don't like PWAs. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think it's because there's sort of an inherent rubber banding that kind of happens with websites. Mm-hmm. Native apps feel solid because they don't have left to right wonkiness.
Yes.
The inherent problem with mobile browsers and putting something on a mobile web page is that there's many different ways that you can make that thing scroll in ways that you don't want it to.
Yes. Yeah. As soon as
that happens, it breaks the illusion of it being an app. And now you feel like you're no longer in an app. You feel like you're reading a PDF. Mm-hmm. on your phone. Mm-hmm. And you have to scroll to find the button. And it really throws you out of the whole illusion. I think that's the biggest problem with PWAs and web page based apps is that issue. You can get around a lot of it, but you can't fully get out of it. And then right at the worst moment when you're trying to go to tap on something, you tap a little too low and it brings up the address bar.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
yeah.
Now, Electron did a great job of solving this by just removing
all web browser every bit elements. Of
Chrome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There's no more Chrome at all. It's just purely an empty window and you put in it what you want.
Right.
That helps a lot, but there's no equivalent of that on the PWAs try to be that, but they don't. They just don't
right. fully so, get so there. Stop trying to be an app that people are supposed to treat like an app because they're not fooled. It's not an app. I got it. I didn't go to the app store. It's not an app. Whatever you're trying to pull on me, it's not an app. So instead of that, just pull them into a world.
Yeah, apps don't have real native apps, whether it's on the phone or on the desktop. A real actual native app don't have any. They don't have a notion of a viewport.
Right.
There's no viewport that you're peering into and you can move all around in there. So once you eliminate that sort of visual wonkiness, if it wasn't for that, I can tell you based on the last few weeks of development that I've been doing, a web browser is a very nice, it's pretty nice. Like here's one great thing about a web browser is the media continues to play even when the phone screen's off.
Yes. No kidding.
You hit play on a piece of content.
Yeah, it just works.
And that thing just works.
Unless it's YouTube and you're not a subscriber, but that's a different issue.
Exactly. In that way, it's so much better than the native app of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, I fully understand why he's doing it, and it's probably the right thing to do.
Well, is it though? Because he has all the elements of what I'm talking about. He has it all. Sam, don't give up yet. He has all the elements. But like all apps, he's trying to be, use me for all your podcasts. I'm just saying, why? Mm-hmm. Why not just let the publishers tell people, hey, use this, or click on, you know, this C name that I have, or type this into your browser, adamcurriesworld.com. Then it automatically shuttles you to this place, and that's a world. It's not an app.
He's almost there already, really.
Yes, he has, particularly with activity streams, he's got all these things that he can start to correlate that people are already doing, interacting with the same content. Now you're talking about something that is really different. And make the whole, so don't promote other podcasts, don't promote your forget about your trying to be a podcast app, try to be a world for that one show that someone just went to.
Like if I go to TrueFans, I just went to TrueFans.fm, and I'm going to click on Buzzcast. What I come up with is this page that looks almost like Podpage with Buzzcast, with the big Buzzcast logo. It's got the hosts of the show.
God, I have to sign in again. I'm getting tired. I don't understand why I always have to sign in. Is that well, me?
I'm on the desktop browser.
Yeah, but I'm on the desktop browser too. That always makes me sign in again. I don't understand. And of course I use the password manager, so it's not something I can easily remember.
It wanted me to, but I just clicked away from it.
Oh, okay.
Just so I could get in and see the page. And then I see all the stuff on the page. If this, this feels like I'm on the Buzzcast website, because there's this nice art and there's all these things there. There's the pod roll, there's activity. I mean, this could be white labeled into just Buzzworld.
Yes.
Like you're talking about.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how I can control it as the Buzzworld, as the Buzzworld publisher, but it's right now you're seeing become a fan. So I should already be a fan. You know, it's like I'm already in, and it should be showing me a whole bunch of things. And this still has the, oh, now you're seeing all the old episodes, right? Turn this into a world and make it, instead of True Fans at the top, make it Buzz Fans and Buzz World. What, this just all, that's the obvious stuff, but you know, it should already be showing me what other things, Kevin is doing and Jordan is doing. And it should be showing me people who are listening, and it, and instead of a pull where people use an app to pull stuff in, it should be push. Buzzworld should, no, they won't, because they have they just did their own new websites. I don't know. I'm becoming repetitive.
But everything's in the feed, you know, I think what you're saying, just a few tweaks, I think would make this become that thing.
Yes.
Because all the stuff is there. It's just arranged in sort of like a file folder where it's like, okay, here's episodes, here's pod roll, here's activity, here's comments. Yes. Instead, just munge all that stuff onto the page in a big,
and you know, and maybe
it all there.
So if you're coming to it from an external source, and that external source can be recognized, take it over, make it, make it Buzzworld. If you're just using it as an app, okay, fine, but I would be telling people to use this app or go to this URL. And it'll open it up, and you got all your stuff in there, all of it. So in a way, I guess I am saying, be a destination that podcasters push people towards, and not worry about people using your app for everything. Mm-hmm. Have the podcasters say, go here, and then they're using your app. I don't know. It's just, it's just a different mindset. It's a different mindset.
You abstract away the idea of the app.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing. Todd boosts in. Welcome to level two. Hold the line.
Level two.
Hey, should we play a song just to clear the palate for a second here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Pick this up from the Valueverse as I was scrolling through the split kit this morning. Thank you very much, Stephen B. Love that work you're doing. Brad Johnner, and this is Free.
And I watched you leaving, a silhouette of all the time that we shared. And there's no reason for you to turn around and come back here. I guess I knew that you'd grow up to be the woman that you are. Now that you're leaving, I never thought the day would come so soon. But you gotta be free to walk down the path of uncertainty. You gotta believe, yeah, that you're gonna make it, yeah. You gotta be free to take the chances that you need to take. You gotta believe that you're gonna make it, yeah. I thought I saw you smiling at me from a billboard sign. I guess I'm looking just a little too hard. From that Broadway stage, and you were a queen that finally found her star. I can't deny that you're a dreamer. I want you to spread your wings and fly away forever. But when you said goodbye, I knew that you gotta be free to walk down the path of uncertainty. You gotta be. That you're gonna make it, yeah. You gotta be free to take the chances that you need to take. You gotta believe, yeah, that you're gonna make it, yeah. I still remember when I looked into your baby blue eyes. I remember thinking that you can be what you want to be. For all your help, Dad, I understand why you're so sad. But there's a world out there for me, so I must be on my way. And you gotta be free to walk down the path of uncertainty. You gotta believe, yeah, that you're gonna make it.
I guess that's fitting for today. You've got to be free to walk the path of uncertainty. Brad Johnner on Podcasting 2.0. If you like that song, go back a little bit. Boost. Go back in your time. You can even pause it. Boost. Let them know you heard it on Podcasting 2.0. Any song that has banjo and cello in the same track is good with me.
I'm a fan of those things being merged together into one thing.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway. All right. What else you got on your list? Just had to cleanse the palate of everything.
I like it.
Did you do the, you talked to the Zebedee folks. Can you talk about it yet?
I can't say a ton because they explicitly asked me to hang loose about talking about it.
You're under NDA. You're under NDA.
I know. We're under friend. We're under friend DA, not NDA.
You're under, what do you call, what's they call it? When you can't release until a certain date, what's it called? But
embargo.
Embargo. Yes, it's under embargo. Yeah. Thank you. You're under embargo.
The basic thumbnail sketch is pretty, I mean, it's the same as what you laid out last week. That's pretty much it. As far as like pricing and things like that and how that whole thing is going to sort of fit together.
Oh, they're writing it up for us, right?
Yeah. He already sent me so here's what I can say that what they're doing is like a one pager, where it's like, here's how, and I've got that page now.
Embargo. You're under an embargo. You can't talk about it yet.
Yeah. So yes, I'm under a soft embargo. I'm like going through the page to check, like kind of see how it works and, you know, just kind of get a feel for what they've put together.
Is there technical stuff in there? Implementation stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really simple write up of like, if you're an app developer and you want to integrate, you do this, 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 and this. And it's nice. Like
so how
very
to,
simple.
Howto.md. Mm-hmm. Readme.md.
Yeah. And so he said with the, like sometime this week, he said they just want to clear the last stuff to the last bits to make sure that, that it's all doable.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's similar to what they were telling you about, last week that they kind of had all the pieces in place. They just needed to rearrange some things
mm-hmm.
to sort of put together a podcast centric solution.
Right.
And, they've kind of got that, but they just need to make sure that it all fits with like, you know, their legal stuff and
got
all that because they have the money licenses and everything. So
right.
As soon as they find that out and give us the thumbs up, then, you know, we can like put out this one pager cool. And it's pretty simple.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
They're nice people exciting. And they really believe in value for value. That's what I like about them.
It was a very enjoyable call. Yeah, they.
No, I guess Katie was on the call.
They then. Get it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
she's.
It wasn't,
fun.
It wasn't all dudes. You know?
Exactly, it wasn't all dudes. Oh, that's the elements of a good call.
A breath of fresh air. Yes.
Yes, indeed. No,
but cool. No, it's gonna be good. As soon as I get the thumbs up, we'll I'll excellent. Go through it on the show.
Yeah, excellent.
The aggregator. Went down. I guess I need to.
Yeah, that was. So here's the sequence of events. So you had the Bitcoin and podcast. Mm-hmm. There turns out there's a lot of podcasts with the words Bitcoin and.
And dot dot dot. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't updating, and so you know I saw the bat signal go out on the Mastodon. I'm like, okay, let me see what I can do. And I do a refresh, I did a scan, didn't scan. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to hit the refresh. Are you sure? Yes. And it still wasn't updating. I'm like, wow, this, and I'm like, you know, so I start looking in his feed, you know, I'm just seeing if there's anything weird in there. I can't see anything. So I figured something had broken and I guess something had broken.
Yep.
Had broke. Yeah. Something had broke.
It for sure broke, yeah, in not in a fun way because, like, I was at the rock climbing gym when I saw this come through. I was just
wait, so you're hanging on a rock looking at your phone, seriously, Dave Jones?
Yeah, no, so I'm between climbs and I'm just kind of scrolling the Mastodon to keep track of things and. And I saw this, and so I went. Of course, I go over to the API site, hit the reset on that feed, and just like you, it was like, now there's no episodes,
yeah,
and there's no scan. I'm like, oh crap! So I was like, oh man. So I, you know, when I got home,
but
I
wait,
got
did in you? No, I'm disappointed you didn't SSH in from your phone. I mean, that's what from I expected. Phone?
Yeah,
come
yeah.
on.
So many good SSH apps on the iPhone. Termix, you know, on the Termix, iPhone Mini.
Termix. I use Termix.
Can you imagine doing that on an iPhone Mini?
Nope.
Oh Lord,
nope.
That would
nope,
be awful.
Nope.
It just it teaches me that I should. How dare I be at the gym without a laptop in my bag? You know, that's
seriously.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
But I got in there and some German podcast had put a Unicode character in their URL, and what was crashing was the insert on the MySQL insert.
Mm.
So the way the aggregator works is it runs it collects all of the feed updates into one big batch, SQL batch insert, and then executes that to update, like, you know, potentially 2,000 feeds at once. And so the insert crashed, and it was this one character,
and it would bring down the whole aggregator when it crashed.
No, it just crashed the process, and so then it would start again.
Oh, but and try it again.
Because that one, it was stuck on that same feed.
I think we like, just need to cut Germany off.
I already did. I blocked them. Oh no. Yeah. Yeah.
If equals gr
Deutschland
de yes, then block. Yeah.
Yeah, but one bad at Germany didn't bring enough for the whole classroom, so yeah, everybody gets punished. Yeah, I've got a workaround in there now, and so
what character was it, and how does that wind up in the feed URL?
Well, you know how it is. I mean, I have no idea. Like this, you know how Unicode is. You look at it and you're like, "What is that?"
Right, right,
because
like,
there's
right.
8 million Unicode characters and. Half of them are like not even visible, you know, like they're like control characters, you know, this one right. means this character means like go back three spaces and you're like, what, huh? Like it's just not even like a real character. And so I couldn't even tell what it was.
So someone probably typed in a URL manually and hit the backspace or something. And it sounds like a manual input issue.
Yeah. I think if
I wonder what the generator was for it.
The generator was Podlove, I think.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure I saved the feed, but I haven't gotten back to it yet. Pretty sure it was a Podlove feed.
Interesting.
And, which I did not think Podlove supported funky characters in their URL. I mean, like technically, I don't think there's any spec anywhere that exists that says you can't do that
in a URL.
In a URL, but you're asking for trouble if you do it.
Clearly, you're asking for the like wrath of the pod sage. Stop it.
Yeah, it was a stupid oversight on my part. I should have. I mean, it's been running for 4 years.
I mean, it never happened before.
Millions and millions of feeds, and so I'm. It was sometimes you just don't know what you don't know to quote
until we know it.
Rumsfeld. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for fixing it. That's appreciated. I'm my nightmare is Dave Jones is no longer on this planet.
That's kind of my nightmare too.
Yeah. Well, there's that. But think of the podcasts.
Well, somebody please think of the podcast.
We need a succession plan.
Is it a key man insurance? Is that what?
No, not the insurance. We need like a dead man switch. If you don't hit it after X amount of time, like a multi-sig wallet, you know, it has to release passwords at least to Alex Gates or something.
The dead man switch goes to Alex.
Well, somebody, why not? You could send it to me, but all right, here you go. Yeah. What am I going to do with it?
No, the dead man switch goes to Alex and it goes to three people. It goes to Alex, Eric PP and Archie over at Podverse.
Okay.
Those guys will handle it.
Okay.
All right. Spurlock. It goes to all four of those guys.
I'm just saying.
If Dave does an SSHN once a week, it just sends out the Dave's Dead credentials to everybody. Yeah.
We just need a way to do a wellness check so we can see if he's alive. Okay. Sorry.
James needed a wellness check. His feed went AWOL.
That was, did we ever figure out what happened?
His server was crashing is what he said.
That sucks. I've never had that where you wake up one morning like, wait a minute. There's no pod news. I said, what am I going to do? And I go in and say, wait, there's no pod news anywhere. It's not, I was like, how does this, what?
Yeah, it's not just an episode missing. The whole thing's gone. It's like James doesn't even exist anymore.
It felt like
it. I thought he just decided to quit.
Yeah, rage quit. Like, I'm getting out of the business. I'm going to go fishing.
Yeah, Spotify sent him one too many press releases that day. And he's like, screw it.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I got. I kind of need to be conscious of time. I've got kind of a soft out around 2:15. So we might want to go ahead and thank some people.
We can do that. Sure. Oh, short board meeting. Boy. All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Less options for you this week. No warrants.
Mm-mm. Yeah. That's the,
the nature of the IRS code.
Yes, right.
I hear you. Yeah, no problem. Well, let me read the boost that came in while we were yapping away. BR, 1000 Sats, Podsage Podcasting, Salty Crayon, 404. There's an unholy amount of Bitcoin podcasts saying the exact same talking points. Less parrots, more music podcasts. Yeah, Salty Crayon, he's very regular with his podcast as well, which is great. We love the... love the upbeats. 4567 from Dreb Scott. He says, free by Brad Johnner. Nice tune. Heard you on the Podcasting 2.0 podcast. Good stuff. There's the 20,000 sats from Todd. Thank you, Todd. He said, welcome to level 2. Hold the line. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Another Salty Crayon. Short Row of Ducks, 222. F5, jiggle the handle. Always have this running scissors handy. There's BR again with... RSS.com loves Podping. Dreb Scott, 12345, boosting. This is while I was doing the pre-stream. Heard you on the pre-stream for Podcasting 2.0 podcast. Good stuff. Another 2345 from Dreb going to the artist, which is great. Thank you very much. And Mike Dell, who was listening, 1701 Star Trek boost. And he said, wow, I got on the pre-show for a change. So yes, I start around 10 after 12 our time and just play some songs, do a little disc jockeying. Which is always fun.
Hitting the post.
Trying to hit that post after 45 years. I can still do it. What you got there, brother?
You can do that in your sleep. We got a Podverse as a PayPal for $50.
Thank you very much. That is highly appreciated. Podverse. Yes.
Highly anticipating Podverse to next gen.
That's right. By the way.
Yep.
You know, though, this is a thought I just had. You know, Mitch was saying, hey, it's going to be a while for us to get the app done. But, you know, he was looking at, serving up an API, like a backup or an alternative source. Why, consider the ideas we were talking about earlier. Maybe that's something you guys can do.
Yeah. And I encourage anybody who wants to run, some sort of API, I encourage it. I mean, if you could, I would say, like, if somebody like Mitch or anybody else wants to run an API, I mean, I don't want to tell anybody what to do, but it would be kind of cool if it mimicked sort of our API format so that it could be sort of like a backup.
Sure.
Or, like, if we're all doing the same sort of thing, I don't know. That would be kind of cool. Cause we've always said we want people to replicate the index
for sure.
Those kinds of things.
For sure.
But then you just don't want to have to learn new, like I have two different APIs.
Right. It would have to be the same.
Yeah. That would be hard. Anyway, it sounds like they're spending a lot of time on their database schema. It sounds like it's going to be really cool. I can't wait to see it. We got some boosts. Right. Let's see. We got McDermott 6. I don't know McDermott. That's a new one. McDermott 64444 through True Fans says listening on a 1.0 app because I lose signal in the woods when I run, but had to pull over to give you a standing zero for the spot on commentary about the media.
Oh,
a standing O, not zero.
Standing zero. Standing O. A standing zero. Hey, I got a standing zero at that conference. Awesome.
Standing O for the spot on commentary about on the media. Yeah, that's always a fun. Hey, listen, Mike Dell, 1701. Star Trek boost through Fountain. He says, yes, it's Spotify.
Okay.
Sat streamer.
B Dency, 1701. Oh, there's a Star Trek boost.
Do we know B Dency?
I don't know B Dency.
I'm going to defragment him.
You've been defragmented.
Welcome to the club, B Dency.
Through True Fans, another True Fans boost. Glad you have the Comment Federation working, Sam.
Very nice.
Cool. Let's see where else we got. Gene Bean, 2222, also through True Fans. Dave, I'm sure you have been through this before, but can you tell me the requirements of the Podcast Index database? Not how it's implemented today, but what it needs to accomplish. Asking because I'd like to run it by some coworkers who have some pretty crazy experience with high performance databases. Requirements. I mean, you know,
patience.
Patience is a requirement.
I would say so.
I mean, you know, that's a hard thing to guess. I would need somebody like Macintosh to kind of tell me, or Archie to tell me what that would be. But I mean, I would have to boil it down to, I'll give you a better answer on the next show. I would have to boil it down to like transactions per second.
Hmm.
Not just raw transactions, but I would have to say the biggest bottleneck is inserts.
Right. As we discussed. By far. Even I know that now. Whenever I'm out with my buddies talking database stuff, I'm like, how about those inserts?
That's right.
I know. The table locks are nuts.
Rachel Maddow's entry point. Yep.
We need a boost number for Rachel Maddow's entry point, which by itself is just a very odd term.
Not a show title, by the
way. No, not a show title.
Yeah, I can get you like a, I would have to say, I'll have to come up with a number of like updates and inserts per second. And I'll get that for you in the next show. We got McDermott 6 again, 4444, listening on that's a double. He gave us a double boost.
Oh, thank you.
Kyron. Through Satchel Richards 1111 through Fountain, he says, wow, there's some really amazing music making its way into V4V. Feels like the quality and, dare I say, diversity.
Oh no, not the D word.
Heard it on Podcasting 2.0.
Very nice.
Let's see. We've got Gene Everett, 5,000 sats through Fountain. Anyone else hate that Fountain went full Noster? Now I'm not following half my old peeps. Plus, new version keeps glitching like it's 2 years ago. Just me?
Ooh.
I don't know. Well, I know Oscar did a big update.
Yeah.
Now it's fixed a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's always hard. I applaud what Oscar is doing. You know, he took a real bold move and said, okay, I'm going to serve this community and make it available to others if they want to come in. It's and so, you know, I'm sure he knew that he was going to alienate some people in some ways, that just happens. So I applaud that kind of risk taking.
Am I misunderstanding, or doesn't this eventually resolve itself when everybody switches to just get an, it's not like if you're in Fountain, it's not like you have to be on Noster.
No, I mean,
Fountain is just, they've just switched their internal messaging format to be that, but that shouldn't affect you.
No, right? It affects what you see in your home feed.
Okay.
So when you open the app, now you're seeing a lot of Noster messages, which is heavy Bitcoin.
Okay, so you're seeing Noster messages come into your fountain feed from outside of the fountain universe.
I don't know where it's coming from. Well, let me just see. Let me just check right now. Because I subscribe to all kinds of stuff in Fountain. And
let me open up mine, too.
Let me see what I see when I go to the home screen. It's taking a moment to load. Okay, so I see Guy's Roundtable, Bitcoin, and... well, homesteading. Oh, maybe it's changed. None of your business. There's still
the chat now, said it shows anything with a fountain or wave like link from Noster. Yeah.
It's gotten less noisy, but. You know, so what I did, and this is probably my fault, mm-hmm. I used my existing Noster credentials. So whatever I was following on Noster is now going to start showing up. So I, I don't know what it looks like if you come in with a fresh Noster ID. So, which is just, I just realized that now. It's like, oh, I know all these people. Why do I know these people? Oh, okay.
See, I haven't done, so here's where I'm at. When I saw the change, I stopped and I haven't done anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I just fired it back up, when I just fired it up, now what I get is a message at the top saying connect Noster for cross app activity.
Mm-hmm.
Activity on Fountain is now powered by Noster. Create a Noster account or connect an existing account to interact with other users.
Right.
And I get two options. I get connect Noster button and I get another link that says, what is Noster?
Mm.
So if I hit connect Noster, I get to another page that says connect an existing Noster profile or create a new profile. And so here's what I wanted to happen. What I wanted to happen was that Fountain would auto create a new Noster profile for me that already had all of my previous Fountain account information in it.
Yeah. So if you click on your profile, find your followers, find people you followed previously on Fountain before connecting Noster to continue seeing their activity. So that may be new. I hadn't seen that either. So you can do find my followers and then you can find my followers or find my follows.
Find your fault. Find people who
that's like a misnomer.
On Fountain before connecting to
it's
Noster.
Definitely a lot less noisy than it was because I was seeing all of the reposts and everything, and so that seems to be less noisy now.
So like
it's actually pretty good now that I see it.
If Oscar had auto created my profile and then said as a Noster profile and then said, hey, if you want to connect your existing Noster profile, you can do it this way.
Yeah, right.
I think right now I'm kind of forced to make a choice that I'm not sure. Afraid to make.
Yes, and I made it, and initially it was difficult, but I don't know. No,
but now it's settling down.
Yeah, it does seem to be settling down.
I feel like that'll like once as all of the Fountain user. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I feel like as all the Fountain users do this process, then eventually it kind of goes back to similar to the way it was before.
Right.
But with just some extra stuff in the feed.
Also, you can select people you're following or global. I hadn't done global yet, so. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, there's definitely stuff working.
Gene Everett, 3333 through Fountain. He says, I hate this Noster comment format. Like I hate it.
Okay. Thanks for the positive feedback.
Gene, not a fan of the new Noster stuff in Fountain. Gene Everett again, 50,000 sass through Fountain. He says, so now we can't boost comments? Man, I wish I had never updated to the latest app version. I really had fun on Fountain and it seems like it was finally working well after early years being buggy, but now I can't boost comments. Noster sucks. So maybe...
I don't know. Maybe you should have a friendly conversation with the developer. And although we love the boost, it's kind of harsh, you know, when you're working on an app and people are, you know, bitching and moaning on other shows about it. I'm just saying.
Yes. I mean, shoot Oscar an email. Maybe he can explain what's going on.
Yeah. And try not to use the word hate. Or
sucks. Yeah.
Try to be positive, you know.
Mm-hmm. We got the Comic Strip Blogger Delimiter, 26,000 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam.
Howdy.
Some podcasts about podcasting are made by grifters from mainstream media who are just pretentious pricks. Some other are genuinely useful for all podcasters. Example, School of Podcasting podcast that you can find at www.schoolofpodcasting.com. Mm-hmm. A useful podcast by Dave Jackson, cousin of Michael Jackson.
Okay. Boost of the week.
Please subscribe to it to polish your podcasts. Oh, I see what you did there. To polish your podcast, bros. Yo, CSB, PS. No AI was used to compose this Bitcoin gram. Not even yesterday released high IQ ChatGPT 01.
Oh, okay. You know, Comic Strip Blogger is never going to die. The AI will just take over and it'll just continue boosting us and just, you know, for the rest of in perpetuity.
That's what he's been building for. That's his life. That's like his magnum opus.
Yes. It's to build, this, reproduce yeah. himself.
Uh-huh. And AI. So that when he dies, nobody will know.
Yeah. Maybe he's already dead. Who knows?
He may have died during the pandemic and we just don't know it.
Careful now, because he's going to get all huffy about it. I am not dead. What are you talking about? That is not nice to talk that way about me.
CSB is current. See, what constitutes the physical manifestation of CSB currently is a tower PC with about five NVIDIA GPUs. That is basically what CSB is.
No,
that's his corporeal self now.
I can already see him composing the toot. No, I use Azure, whatever.
Yeah. AMD.
AMD, whatever, AMD. Whatever.
Yeah. We got some, we got some monthlies here. We got Basil Phillip, $25. Thank you, Basil. Maybe it's Basil.
It's probably Basil.
Yeah, Basil.
Yeah.
Basil Phillip, $25. Hey, I'm from Alabama. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
Mitch Downey, $10. Thank you, Mitch. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Silicone Florist, $10. Mm-hmm. Chris Cowan, $5. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Thank you, Paul. Derek J. Visker, the best name in podcasting, $21. And Damon Kasajak, $15.
Thank you all very much. That's great. Good group. Value for value, the whole project here, go to podcastindex.org, read all about it right there on the homepage. On we get the bottom, you'll see a red donate button that is for your fiat fund coupons. Or if you're listening to this in a modern podcast app, you can boost us at any time. We appreciate that. We read them, of course. Or you can use the fund me button, the donation button, the little thing that looks like a wad of cash. Mm-hmm. Hit that and it'll take you right to our PayPal as well. We accept everything to support this value for value project. For more on what that is, there's a great YouTube. I'm going to link it from the value for value.info website, the Bitcoin conference podcast that the artist did about value for value. Have you seen that? It just showed up on YouTube. It's really good.
Is that the one Chad F. linked today?
Yes, yes. It's okay, real. They start off with, tell me what value for value is, and they nail it. All of them. They get it completely.
Nice.
Especially DJ Valerie B. Love, I think. Is that her name? She's pretty cool.
I don't know.
Yeah, very cool. And thank you. Thank you, everybody. We really appreciate it. This is a public service. It's a public boardroom. Everybody is welcome. We do it every single Friday, except around tax time. We make things a little shorter. It's about 2 hours long. All right, brother, get back to work. Get back to the mill. You got to grind some more numbers.
I just realized something I wanted that I had forgotten to put on my notes to talk about, and dang it, we'll have to talk about it next week.
You want
to
give a teaser?
Nah. It's too much to get into. Yeah, it's too much to get into.
Okay. It's too
yeah.
The tease is something really complicated is coming up next week. All right, brother. Have yourself a great weekend, Dave.
All right, Timmy. You too.
And the same to the boardroom. Thanks for being here on Podcasting 2.0.
have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Bowling is for pussies.